The Trump administration wants access to Wisconsin's voter rolls ahead of this November's elections. They have filed an appeal in federal court after a judge dismissed the case. It's Tuesday, June 16th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a Dane County facility that raised beagles used for lab tests will close for good. And almost a dozen Wisconsin breweries closed last year, so we'll pose the question, is craft beer on the decline?
The kind of younger generation isn't drinking alcohol as much as prior generations, so that's been stress.
Stay with us.
When so much is happening in the world, who can you count on to tell you what really happened and why it matters? Old Fashioned Reporting, weekdays on Morning Edition from NPR News.
President Donald Trump's administration is asking a federal appeals court to give it access to Wisconsin's unredacted voter registration data. Rich Kramer reports an emergency motion suggests many, quote, fraudulent voters could be sent ballots before November without a federal audit.
The U.S. Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division has filed 30 lawsuits seeking voter registration lists in states like Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has provided publicly available data, but the Trump administration wants sensitive info, including driver's license numbers and the last four digits of voters' Social Security numbers. The administration's suit claims the Civil Rights Act requires Wisconsin to turn it over. A federal judge in Madison disagreed last month and dismissed the case. The administration is now asking the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals to step in and resolve the suit before the November elections. The emergency motion claims many absentee ballots could be sent to non-citizens or deceased individuals unless the federal government verifies the registration list. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Canadian energy firm Enbridge says 500 people are working on the $450 million reroute of its Line 5 oil and gas pipeline in northern Wisconsin. Crews are clearing trees and laying down wooden mats for temporary access roads. They're preparing to start drilling to install the pipeline. Enbridge is building a 41-mile stretch of Line 5 around the Bad River Tribe's reservation after the tribe sued in 2019 to shut down the pipeline on its lands. The tribe and environmental groups are continuing to fight state approvals in court. Bad River Tribal Chairwoman Elizabeth Arbuckle says she fears the project will stir up mercury in waterways and threaten the tribe's wild rice beds.
With climate change and different things going on, we're starting to see changes. So we are concerned that this is going to affect our rice more than it already is.
Enbridge says the project will not violate the tribe's water quality standards. The reroute will affect around 100 acres of wetlands and roughly 200 waterways. A Wisconsin-based beagle breeding and scientific testing facility is set to shut down later this summer. As Sarah Lear reports, this comes after an animal welfare group bought hundreds of dogs that remained at the complex.
Dozens of beagles ran around Monday afternoon at a farm in south central Wisconsin. Earlier in the day, the dogs were trucked from the Ridgeland Farms facility, where they had been bred for scientific testing. The nonprofit Big Dog Ranch Rescue struck a deal to acquire nearly 500 dogs that remained at the facility. The group had previously partnered with another nonprofit to buy over 1,000 Ridgeland dogs. Ridgeland Farms has been targeted by activists who have staged multiple raids on the site. In April, demonstrators were met with tear gas and rubber bullets after the Dane County Sheriff said they acted violently. Several activists sued after that confrontation, alleging excessive force. On Monday, the plaintiffs agreed to drop that suit. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Mm-hmm. Senator Tammy Baldwin says the Army mishandled a major vehicle contract by giving it to a private equity-backed company instead of Wisconsin-based Oshkosh Defense. Baldwin sent a letter to the Secretary of the Army last week, raising concerns about production delays for Joint Light Tactical Vehicles, or JLTVs. The senator also called on the military to explore alternatives for making the vehicles. In 2023, the Army awarded an $8.6 billion contract to manufacture thousands of JLTVs to Indiana-based AM General instead of Oshkosh Defense. Oshkosh produced the original JLTVs under a previous contract. Baldwin says AM General is about 2 years behind on delivering those vehicles.
The failed attempt to pivot away from Wisconsin's metal-tested companies and workforce has come at a cost to taxpayers and put our service members at risk.
A spokesperson for Oshkosh Defense said the company stands ready if the military needs additional JLTVs. Congress is looking into a federal law that determines how you can watch your favorite sports team. And as Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, that has the Green Bay Packers concerned.
The Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961 let sports leagues, not individual teams, negotiate broadcasting deals and then split up the revenue. The Packers are the smallest market team in the NFL. They have benefited from that profit-sharing model because they are not only counting on local fan support. But critics say that law creates an unfair situation for fans, especially in the streaming age, where different games might be distributed to totally different paywalled streaming services. Here's Congressman Scott Fitzgerald at a committee hearing.
It is fair for this body to ask whether the professional sports leagues have kept up their end of the bargain. In my opinion, they have not.
Representatives for the Packers say a change to the law could be an existential threat. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, the business of craft brewing is in a slump, and some spots in Wisconsin are now closing their doors altogether. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferrat.
We are your hosts of Wisconsin Weekend from WPR News.
Each week, our team works to uncover the stories and events that communities all over the state take pride in.
Our goal is to bring you closer to the unique perspectives and the traditions that make Wisconsin a great place to call home.
Along the way, you'll hear uplifting stories of neighbors in your community making a positive difference.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10.
And finally, there are nearly 600 craft breweries in the upper Midwest alone. 271 of them are in Wisconsin, according to the Brewers Association. But more and more of these places are struggling to stay open. For the Upper Midwest Newsroom, Minnesota Public Radio's Matt Alvarez visited taprooms in the Twin Cities to have a pint and find out more.
Brauhaus Brew Labs, a decade-old brewery in Minneapolis, announced earlier this month they were shutting their doors after 12 years in business. Jana Braun-Pakowski has been there for most of its existence.
See, I want to cry. I see people that I've been seeing for a dozen years.
The Minneapolis brewery is the latest in taproom closures across the Midwest. About 11 breweries in Wisconsin went out of business in 2025. North Dakota lost Fargo Brewing, the state's largest brewery, in 2024. And South Dakota breweries are likely feeling the pain, as the craft beer industry across the country has seen a 4-5% decline in sales.
And can I do the apricot sour?
Yeah.
The 2010s were a booming time for craft beer. Tap rooms popped up across the country, injecting new life into forgotten places. So, what happened?
There was a new fad.
That's Mike Rolfe. He's the CEO of Dual Citizen Brewing Company in St. Paul.
People loved going to these tap rooms and learning about beer. I still think people like to do that, but I think you have a shift in the culture of drinking that is changing.
The Brewers Association says there were around 9,000 breweries across the country by 2020. By 2024, there were more tap room closings than opening.
This was all built in 2023. It was built to brew and distribute beer at scale.
On the border of Minneapolis and St. Paul, just a few blocks from his tap room, Rolf walks me through a newly built facility.
Our biggest challenge is being able to sell beer profitably at scale in what is really shrinking shelf space.
Rolf says Dual Citizen can produce about 2,000 barrels of beer a year. That's peanuts compared to bigger breweries with name recognition that can easily put out, say, 70,000 barrels. Plus,
the kind of younger generation isn't drinking alcohol as much as prior generations, so that's been stress. But then you also have competition from ready-to-drink cocktails, the seltzer market, which popped up here in the last 5 years.
That includes THC drinks, which Rolf says Dual Citizen has also gotten into.
But everything we're making here is either the THC or the beer.
Dual Citizen opened in 2018, near the peak of the craft beer boom. Rolf says they're doing what they can to ward off financial headwinds. Product expansion is one tool. So is curating a welcoming environment for their taproom with themed gatherings, game nights, and fundraising with local nonprofits.
I think there is an element of burnout that goes unrecognized.
Bob Galligan is the Minnesota Craft Brewers Government and Industry Relations Director. He says breweries struggled recovering from the pandemic.
But then also, again, with the constant shift in trade policies, the constant shift in cost of goods and whatnot, I do think that there are some owners who are just choosing to step away because running a small business has never been easy. But under these conditions, it's unfair.
Galligan is cautiously optimistic about the brewing industry, but
it's constantly changing. And some days that is a good thing. But definitely in the past, I would say like 2-3 years, it has been very, very difficult for craft brewers.
There are other financial threats to breweries. Recent federal legislation threatens the future of THC drink production. It's not lost on the Bauhaus staff or their customers at Time's Up. With weeks left until the brewery closes, Palkowski hears the laughs and the tears.
I will always have this family here and people that have really made a difference in my life through art and community.
For the Upper Midwest Newsroom, I'm Matt Alvarez in the Twin Cities.
The Upper Midwest Newsroom is a public media collaboration among Wisconsin, North and South Dakota, and Minnesota. It's made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And you know we got to get your forecast in here before letting you go for the day. Highs in the 60s and 70s across Wisconsin today, so a little bit on the cool side. We could see a few thunderstorms in central and southern Wisconsin as well. Overnight, mostly cloudy. Some rain is expected to move into the western half of Wisconsin later on. Lows down into the 60s overnight. And just so you know, if you're looking ahead to tomorrow, it's still going to be rainy with highs only getting into the 60s. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.